Directly Bond and Leiter had left to walk over to the hotel, she had telephoned Paris and told M's representative of the result of the game. She had had to speak guardedly, and the agent had rung off without comment. She had been told to do this, whatever the result. M had asked for the information to be passed on to him personally at any time of the day or night. This was all she said. She sipped at her champagne and rarely glanced at Bond. She didn't smile. Bond felt frustrated. He drank a lot of champagne and ordered another bottle. The scrambled eggs came and they ate in silence. At 4 o'clock, Bond was about to call for the bill when the maître d'hôtel appeared at their table and inquired for Miss Lind. He handed her a note, which she took and read hastily. "Oh, it's only Matthews," she said. "He says would I come to the entrance hall. He's got a message for you. Perhaps he's not in evening clothes or something. I won't be a minute. Then perhaps we could go home." She gave him a strained smile. "I'm afraid I don't feel very good company this evening. It's been rather a nerve-wracking day. I'm so sorry." Bond made a perfunctory reply and rose, pushing back the table. "I'll get the bill," he said, and watched her take the few steps to the entrance. He sat down and lit a cigarette. He felt flat. He suddenly realized that he was tired. The stuffiness of the room hit him as it had hit him in the casino in the early hours of the previous day. He called for the bill and took a last mouthful of champagne. It tasted bitter, as the first glass, too many, always does. He would have liked to have seen Mathis's cheerful face and heard his news, perhaps even a word of congratulation. Suddenly, the note to Vesper seemed odd to him. It was not the way Mathis would do things. He would have asked them both to join him at the bar of the casino, or he would have joined them in the nightclub, whatever his clothes. They would have laughed together, and Mathis would have been excited. He had much to tell Bond, more than Bond had to tell him. The arrest of the Bulgarian, who had probably talked some more, the chase after the man with a stick, Le Chiffre's movements when he left the casino. Bond shook himself. He hastily paid the bill, not waiting for the change. He pushed back his table and walked quickly through the entrance without acknowledging the good nights of the maître d'hôtel and the doorman. He hurried through the gaming room and looked carefully up and down the long entrance hall. He cursed and quickened his step. There were only one or two officials and two or three men and women in evening clothes getting their things at the vestiaire. No Vesper. No Mathis. He was almost running. He got to the entrance and looked along the steps to left and right, down and amongst the few remaining cars. The commissionaire came towards him.
"A taxi, monsieur?"
Bond waved him aside and started down the steps, his eyes staring into the shadows, the night air cold on his sweating temples. He was halfway down when he heard a faint cry, then the slam of a door way to the right. With a harsh growl and stutter from the exhaust, a beetle-browed Citroën shot out of the shadows into the light of the moon, its front-wheel drive dry-skidding through the loose pebbles of the forecourt. Its tail rocked on its soft springs as if a violent struggle was taking place on the back seat. With a snarl, it raced out to the wide entrance gate in a spray of gravel. A small black object shot out of an open rear window and thudded into a flowerbed. There was a scream of tortured rubber as the tyres caught the boulevard in a harsh left-handed turn, the deafening echo of a Citroën's exhaust in second gear, a crash into top, then a swiftly diminishing crackle as the car haired off between the shops on the main street towards the coast road. Bond knew he would find Vesper's evening bag among the flowers. He ran back with it across the gravel to the brightly lit steps and scrabbled through its contents while the commissionaire hovered round him. The crumpled note was there amongst the usual feminine baggage. "Can you come out to the entrance hall for a moment? I have news for your companion, Renee Mathis."